stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Zach's senior strategist, Kevin Cook, to talk about an area of the stock market that I feel may turn out to be the area of the future. All eyes have been on the disruptors in, say, technology or social media, or even in retail with what Amazon has been doing to the retail sector. But outside of discussion about, say, drug prices and talk about new drugs for diseases like Alzheimer's and occasional excitement about vaccines for like Ebola or Zika, there hasn't been a lot of interest in the medical companies. They're kind of out of favor. And that opens a door for investors that can create a buying opportunity. So I like that. I like to look at areas where people are kind of ignoring it or not really paying attention. So Kevin is joining me today because he's basically Zach's resident expert on everything in healthcare. He has been for a while. Whenever there's some like weird biotech or, you know, some new drug or something going on, he's the one I go to because I never know what's going on with the drug companies. And he's actually just this week launching a new service here at Zach's called Healthcare Innovators. And it's fitting that he's going to be running it because, like I said, he's our expert here. But Kevin, I was just reading this fascinating article in LA Magazine, and it was about a successful hand transplant at UCLA. It was one of the first ever in the United States where instead of putting on a prosthetic hand, they literally took a hand from someone else and then like connected all the nerve endings. And the guy is like playing tennis today. This is like groundbreaking. And when you think of like things like that, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg for what's going on in the medical area in healthcare, which will be going on for the next like couple decades. And it's super exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, so we've got this pressure in sort of the drug space with the whole pricing issue.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, you can't invest in healthcare anymore. And then there's the whole policy switch, right? Going from the Affordable Care Act to what's next, we don't know.
Right.
You know, does that make healthcare uninvestable?
Yeah.
And I say no way, because the same things that were driving you to be an investor in healthcare in 2009 are still present. And I call them four mega trends. I talk about boomer power, which is people living longer and needing more care. And then science power, the explosion of research and development is just enormous, whether it's drugs or as you just talked, you just gave an example of this transplant, the medical device companies, whether it's for surgery or some type of implant for hearts. You know, and then that science power translates into earnings power, that is the third thing. And then M&A power, that these companies, the big pharma companies, say a Johnson & Johnson or a Bristol Myers, they need to buy new science, you know, to fill their pipelines. And so there's this constant cash flow. Sometimes those are the biggest investors, is the other, you know, medical companies investing in the small, new breakthrough science.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of investors think really narrowly right now about the healthcare stocks, as you just mentioned, and they're only focusing on these big issues that are in the news about the pricing or Obamacare, and that's a super narrow area of this big industry. I know even when I've been looking around at stocks, I've run across a few just recently in the last 6 months that I had no idea were out there that I thought were really interesting and that are innovating. One of them I covered for a Hidden Gems video. So that's how I did find it, through a Hidden Gem search. And it's called Biotelemetry. And its ticker is BEAT, B-E-A-T, which makes sense because they do wireless cardiac monitoring devices, which again is a play on the technology. Changes in technology free up people with certain conditions and these companies to really focus on what the needs of these patients are and improve their lives. And they just announced that they're acquiring this other big cardiac monitoring company called LifeWatch, actually. And I think they're actually here in Illinois, but they trade in Switzerland. They're kind of a Swiss company or something. I don't know. But they have 600 contracts in their payer network around the world, actually. So this is kind of a big deal for Biotelemetry to, you know, merge with them, basically. and
yeah, because these companies are doing at least two things. One, it's monitoring your current condition for safety, right?
Right.
So let somebody know if your heart's doing something irregular. And then the other thing is just collecting data.
That's right.
It's like we have the tools to store a bunch of data. Now you can have your own data set of what your heart patterns are like, you know, throughout the day and the week. And then science can use all that data for research too. They can crunch the big data.
Yeah. So this is a real small cap company. They're supposed to have double-digit earnings growth this year and next year. I don't think the analysts are even factoring in LifeWatch yet, so that might add too. That deal's supposed to close on the third quarter. But that's just like one that I had never heard of that suddenly I ran across that is one of the players out there in this kind of environment. And then a second one I only found because the insiders were buying it, and it's called Insulet. Their ticker is PODD. And they make the insulin pumping systems. They have this proprietary system called the Omnipod Insulin Management System. And obviously for diabetics and anyone else who needs this, you don't want to be injecting all the time. So this is like a different type of system to get the things you need when you're a diabetic. And they're also supposed to have double-digit earnings growth. They're not yet profitable, however, but they're kind of moving towards profitability. The estimates are moving in the right direction. And as I said, the insiders were buying there. So that ticker is PODD, as I said, but I've never heard of them either. But these are just like a tip of the iceberg of the type of companies you could invest in healthcare today.
Absolutely. There's so much opportunity. Like, I look at devices, you know, when you say, hey, could this bull market in biotech be over? Well, maybe that is.
People focus on the biotechs like crazy.
Maybe that peaked for a while, but there's still a ton of companies doing cool things. And the one area that I'm most excited about is the immunotherapy.
Yes.
You know, what sometimes called immuno-oncology. You know, how can they use the body's immune system to cure cancer?
Right.
You know, you think about what cancer is. It's this, you know, it's this growth and mutation of cells in your body. The problem is that your immune system immediately doesn't recognize it as a threat because they're your own cells. But then secondly, cancer cells have a way of tricking your immune system where they can use a protein to block this checkpoint where your white blood cells would normally go, hey, there's an invader. They don't. So scientists have figured out, hey, they've created something called a checkpoint inhibitor where they can tell the body, this is how you can recognize, you know, based on these protein communicators, which are the good cells and which are the bad cells. So, and there's so many exciting companies doing this. You know, our immune system is awesome to begin with at fighting off viruses and bacteria. So it just needs a little help with cancer.
Yeah, and this could be huge.
Yeah, because when you think about if you know anybody who's been through chemotherapy or radiation, you know, it's traumatic.
It's awful.
Yeah. So if the R&D spent to figure out some of these immunotherapies is well worth it.
Yeah. A couple of companies we were talking about in that space, one of the big players is Incyte, I-N-C-Y-T-E, and their ticker is I-N-C-Y. And I looked them up to kind of see what was going on because I haven't looked into that area in a while. And they have a couple drugs that are going into phase three, it looks like. One for melanoma, so fingers crossed on that one, because phase three, for those who don't know, there's three phases, 1, 2, and 3. The third phase is usually when they're really testing on a big subject grouping, like thousands of people are getting it.
I call it the FDA gauntlet.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to go through these three phases of clinical trials, and the FDA is looking at your data and the effects on patients, participants, you know, and usually what happens is if somebody doesn't make it, if somebody dies, you know, you don't know if it was because of the disease or because of the treatment, and the FDA has to be all over it. And sometimes they'll put a hold on a clinical trial.
Right. And phase three is the most, you know, you can get excited when they've passed the first two phases, but phase three is the most critical because it's being exposed to the biggest number of patients. And it is usually where something trips them up, unfortunately. So I'm excited that they're in phase three. That's why I said fingers crossed that this will pass the phase three for the melanoma. But they're also in phase three in a partnership with Merck on this other area. It's through their Keytruda combo. And that is on numerous cancers. It was like bladder and lung and several other ones. So also fingers crossed on that one. But I did also see an announcement that they announced in February, Incyte did, that it's partnering with the Abramson Cancer Center at Penn. Like, they're going to use their scientists and they're going to provide money while they're doing a lot of these further R&D and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I see that as a good good sign that the best scientists at these places are all getting involved.
Yeah, and so Insight is a good example of talking about this immuno-oncology area because it's one of the most successful companies there.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Merck as a partner. Bristol Myers is also a partner with Insight.
Okay.
In
one that was another one I saw.
BMY. But one good thing to do is just to look at a chart of the stock Insight, which is INCY, the ticker, and you could just see the volatility. I mean, this stock made a new all-time high of like $130 back in 2015. Then it craters down below 60, right? You know,
was that because of issues with like one of the drug tests?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, things not going as well as expected in trials. And then, but 2016 was just a steady climb higher, you know, as more news came out, more progress is made in trials, certain milestones are met, and the big pharma companies help them out. Just to note, so Insight made a new all-time high over 150 in March, and it just fell, it dropped, you know, 10, 15 bucks this week because of something unrelated to immuno-oncology. They have a drug in another area. So,
okay.
You know, at least they have a pipeline, which is exposed to several areas.
Okay,
so.
But this brings up another question then for investors. That sounds pretty volatile, and you're talking over a two-year time period. Mm-hmm. It's like basically retraced over 50% down and then back again. Mm-hmm. What kind of investor should be buying these? I mean, you're going to have to be extremely patient with any of these, mm-hmm. right? I mean, this isn't someone who needs to be in like a GE or something, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah, you're investing definitely for the future.
Okay.
And you've got a, you know, you like just like you never put all your money in one stock. The same thing with some of these. You have to do your homework and then look at several of them, you know, because you don't know who's going to make it. And you have to just stay on top of the news and the research, you know, and preferably, you know, buy the stocks that are advancing into phase three, you know, and haven't had a lot of trouble with the FDA. So that cancer area is exciting, but I also want to talk about areas that have nothing to do with, you know, disease necessarily,
right.
but are still involved with medical technology. And that's the robotic surgery companies like Intuitive Surgical. This is another great example of Intuitive Surgical. This stock was trading $350 in 20.
What's their ticker?
ISRG, Intuitive Surgical, ISRG. Okay. The stock was trading $350 in 2014. I remember they had either an earnings miss or they guided down. And about the same time, 3 years ago, the stock, it rallies back up to 550. So it goes from 350 to 550 and then drops all the way back in 4 or 5 weeks.
What?
You know, on some guidance issue. And this is the company that makes the Da Vinci, you know, surgical assistant, basically, to a surgeon. It's a surgeon's complex tool where he or she is able to perform their surgeries with a certain degree of precision with the aid of this machinery. But now the stock is over $750.
Wow.
You know, it's just been a terrific investment. But this is another example of having the long-term outlook. You know,
This
is, can you handle 30 and 40% swings in healthcare stocks? Yeah, you can, you know, if you have a long-term approach and you look at what's the growth of a given market? Are physicians adopting this technology? Are physicians prescribing this medicine? And if it's part of a long-term addressable market, then it pays to tolerate the 50% swings for the long-term benefit.
They seem kind of like Rumpelstiltskin stocks. That's what I call
exactly.
them. Like you go to sleep and then you just want to wake up 3 years later and be like, what happened? Because you don't want to watch it or know what's going on
right.
for those 3 years.
Yeah, you really have to have the mindset that, hey, this just like any investor, when you put money away and you don't want to violate your savings for 5 or 10 years, you kind of have to look at it the same way. Like just let it go. If it's a valid story in a growing market, just let it ride.
So how many stocks are you going to hold in the healthcare innovators portfolio then? Because it sounds like it's not going to be like 5 stocks.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So this will be modeled on some things we've done with you know, different investor services before where we can hold at least 20 stocks.
Okay.
You know, 20 to 25 will be the optimum range.
And are you going to, obviously that'll be pretty diverse amongst the healthcare area, right? Because we were just talking about like how many different areas you could be in. What about like the more obscure things I'm thinking of, like dental advances?
Sure.
People forget about the dental area or the eye area.
Yeah.
That's all a lot of innovation.
And those areas have their own innovations, right? Their own research and development, you know, better ways to get take care of your teeth, or implants and things with, I think before you were talking about macular degeneration of the eyes.
That they're making a lot of gains in that area, and that we could see some kind of maybe even stem cell therapy for that in the next couple of years even.
So in the Zacks medical sector, we have almost 800 companies.
Okay.
And probably a dozen industries. So you mentioned dentistry, that's one of the industries, and that might have like a dozen companies. But obviously the drug components, whether it's traditional pharma or the biotech, those have the most companies. Those are over half of the medical sector. But then back to devices, I really like a company called Edwards Life Sciences, EW. They make the heart valves, replacement heart valves. And it's just amazing technology. This company was started by an engineer back in the 60s, and he saw a need he wanted to fill, and he found a way to design a heart valve that is now like the recognized gold standard in the world for replacing heart valves.
Yeah, I like stories like that. What about market cap size? Does it, obviously you're just giving us these stories of these crazy swings, and some of these stocks are not small caps.
Right. Oh,
so imagine the small caps, or maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe now you can be in a whole bunch of small caps because it might not be any worse.
Yeah. I mean, as we know, sometimes when you find that small cap gem, it's the opportunity that becomes a stock that can grow for you double, triple, five times. And those are an investor's dream. They're hard to find.
You
mentioned a couple of small ones earlier. We don't know if those are going to be doubles or triples. And you're certainly not going to get a double or a triple out of the big caps, but those are sometimes, they provide a ballast to your portfolio.
Right.
If they're the ones that are growing, so if there's a market storm, which ones still have positive cash flow and earnings, right?
Well, that's another question. Do you care if they have positive cash flow and earnings?
not all of them. Obviously, the ones that you call your ballast stocks in healthcare, it could be a hospital,
Yeah, what about that area? What about the growth in the ambulatory surgical centers? I've owned a couple stocks that are big in that. Is that an area you would consider going into?
Is there innovation? We saw one of those collapse last year, if I can find it here. Yeah, Adeptus Health, ADPT. I believe they were running unique ambulatory hospitals.
Some of that might be Obamacare tied into, too.
Yeah, in rural areas. I think they had their own issues, too, but that stock, because that stock just collapsed below $2 now.
What about the apparently ongoing crisis, I guess you could say, in the number of doctors and nurses that are in the United States? And, that the baby boomers are retiring, and there were a lot of doctors and nurses in the baby boomers, and they're going away, and there's not enough now. Is that an area that you could see there being some innovation going on, or I don't know, something?
Yeah, well, what's the staffing company we like there?
AMN Healthcare is the one. Yeah. They do the doctors and the nurses and stuff.
Well, that appears to be still a solid investment.
Yeah.
I don't know what its Zacks rank is right now, but, it's holding near its highs. And that's what they do. They do specialty recruiting. If a hospital needs a particular type of doctor or nurse, they call AMN and say, we need these positions filled, and they find them. So, and sometimes this involves travel, and people are willing to relocate, to find the right person in the right role.
What about some of these stocks I call the lottery stocks, the biotechs, that they're in some kind of phase with some kind of vaccine, and nobody knows, because as we just discussed, you can get to phase three and it can blow up, but they don't have any income. They might have one or two drugs in the pipeline. Would any of those find their way into your portfolio, or
they could, but those will be the smaller positions and less concentration in that area. Because
what would make you want to buy one of those? Because there's pretty many of those.
Yeah, I'm looking,
and like, how do you pick one?
So I've got my eye on the immunotherapy candidates.
Okay.
Especially if they've got a partnership with Big Pharma. So Big Pharma's already putting their stamp of approval on that model and that research. Then you're in good company.
Right. It's like they're being backed by somebody.
Yeah, it has the potential to make it through the FDA gauntlet. I want to bring up one company that's been in the news just this month here, even last week. Neurocrine Biosciences. The ticker is NBIX. And the reason that they shot up recently is because they just got FDA approval for a drug that treats a neurological disorder. I'm going to try and say this. Tardive dyskinesia. But we'll just call it TD, because that's what they call it. And this is a condition that people experience if they might be on some type of neurological drug to begin with, say an antipsychotic drug. So there could be involuntary body movements as a result of an antipsychotic drug. And so that's what TD is. And this new drug is going to treat that. Well, so this stock shoots up $15 last week. And so it's pretty exciting what's going on there based on this approval. But now the question is, where are they going to price it? So this comes into the whole drug pricing thing. And the company's not announcing it yet, because they want to communicate to investors where they see the pricing being appropriate based on, you know, the need they're trying to serve, and they want to make it affordable. Where this soap opera gets even more interesting is that Teva, the generic maker, they've got a drug that was approved for Huntington's disease, which may also treat this TD. And they're pricing their drug at $60,000 a year, which, you know, seems high. But yeah. So the Neurocrine management has to look at it like, okay, they want to be competitive. So they're going to come out and price it. And analysts are all over the map right now. They don't know if it's going to be $20,000 a year or $60,000 a year, but they think it's going to be under $60,000, since Teva might be competition for them. So the whole pricing thing is, you know, it's got to be taken on a case-by-case basis. Some things sound expensive, but I always give the example of, you know, in disease, you talk about Gilead with, you know, treating hepatitis. When they were charging $100,000 for a 16-week cure program with their Sovaldi or Harvoni drugs, people just, you know, they can't wrap their mind around that. How can it cost that much?
Right.
But what they don't know is that if somebody gets really sick and they get to an advanced stage of liver disease, their life is threatened.
Right.
And a new liver
costs even more.
Costs about $500,000 dollars installed, as I like to say.
Yeah.
So that's why the insurance companies will pay for these cures.
That is one of the reasons in that story about the hand transplant, why we haven't seen more actual hand transplants, because the insurance companies know it's cheaper to put the prosthetic on than the cost of actually doing the hand transplant, because it's so rare and they haven't done that many. It's literally the doctors in there for, you know, 20 hours doing the procedure and everything.
Right.
So they do look at the costs and say it's still cheaper to get the other one, but that may change going forward. Who knows, like the costs of these things. Now, what about switching gears a little bit? I have to bring this up, the vein drug stocks and like the vein drug companies that are making things for, like, say, hair loss or weight loss.
Oh, vanity.
Or, yes. Or, you know, the Botox kind of areas, or like someone could come up with a serum to cure wrinkles or those things. Like, are you interested in those? Like, you would be, right? Like, that would be an innovator if someone could do a hair loss pill.
Sure. And if they're growing sales, you know, and it's hitting the bottom line, you really can't argue with it.
Yeah, because,
you know,
Allergan hasn't done badly with the Botox and the other stuff they have.
It's not an area I've looked closely at.
Okay.
But
you'll keep it on the radar, though. Okay, so one last thing I did want to know. So what's your procedure then for finding these stocks? Like, you're obviously using the Zacks Rank, but as we just talked about, we have 800 companies in our medical sector. How do you go about narrowing it down from there? What do you look at?
And many are unprofitable.
Yeah.
And the Zacks Rank is a short-term indicator
where
I'll be holding for longer. So, you know, there has to be a blend of our methods here. I really like to read a lot of analyst research. You know, there's many investment banks that have top-notch analysts who are themselves trained in the life sciences.
Yeah,
you know,
they might, doctors.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff.
Could be a PhD. They could have a degree in microbiology or something. And so they're into this. So they're, you know, they're on the level of really getting to know the science of the company, and then talking, also out talking to doctors. You know, the doctors are on the front lines. They have to prescribe a drug or treatment or procedure.
Right.
You know, they're the ones making the decisions. How do they feel? You know, what are they looking for? What do they want? So they sometimes, and some of those physicians are called KOLs, key opinion leaders, and they listen to them. So I read as much research as I can. And then I also look at the company presentations. I mean, these companies, these are scientists, and they have to, you know, everything is peer reviewed, right? They have to go, when they go before a room, it's not just investors. When they do a presentation to a room full of 100 people, there's a lot of other scientists in there. So they have to do detailed presentations of what their research and clinical trials is coming up with. So you look at those and you can learn a lot. And then you sort of, you want to hear what's the feedback, you know, what are the key opinion leaders saying about this research, you know? So things like that. I also like to watch the institutional investors. You know, there are some investors who just focus on healthcare, or maybe half of their portfolios in healthcare. And these are guys that do the same thing. They read all the research. They go to the conferences. They, you know, comb the company website, look at the presentations. They're on every conference call. you know, so yeah. I try and get as much help as I can.
Right. Are you reading things like the New England Journal of Medicine?
I wish
now?
I could say I'm doing that all the time, but you know, sometimes
it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, just reading the analyst research is enough.
Yeah, they'll read it and then kind of concise. Yeah.
Those are the guys and gals that are really on top of things.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, that sounds really interesting. If you're interested in the Healthcare Innovators portfolio, it's actually launching this week on Zacks.com. I think it's a dollar trial, right?
Yeah, probably
part of the Zacks Ultimate deal,
yeah.
For the trial. Mm-hmm. So you can go in there and check it out and see what kind of stocks he's going to be adding into there. I don't even know what they are. They never tell us anything here. So we're all in the dark, and I like to see, like, when we have a new service that launches, what's in there, because this is interesting. And this is an area I always love, but like I said, I don't know as much about what goes on in there, because you do kind of have to be an expert or just be in that world. And I know, you know, Kevin has been for a number of years
now. Or at least rely on a lot of experts, you know.
Well, yeah.
When you do your research.
Yeah. But still, either way, it is a challenging area, but I do feel like it's probably one of the key areas of the future, and it gets lost amongst the, you know, excitement over Facebook and all this other stuff, Uber and all that. But some of these companies will change lives.
Absolutely.
And it'll be quite dramatic. We were talking a little bit before we started this podcast about the muscular degeneration theories that they're coming up with, or the therapies, and just talking about the cataract surgery. That was like groundbreaking when that launched, you know, numerous decades ago now. But before that, like, people lost their eyesight before they created just that. And now, you know, you can go in and like outpatient surgery, and it's like, oh, I'm going to get my cataracts done. And it's like not even that big of a deal anymore. And I think a lot of things will be happening like that, developing in the medical area. And it's super exciting. So I'm looking forward to seeing what stocks you find and just what goes on in this area. And like I said, fingers crossed in some of those phase threes that those immuno-oncology guys are doing, because that could be huge.
I mean, hopefully we'll do this again in 5 years, and we'll have been able to say, hey, we picked these stocks that doubled, and
you
know, big winners for both investors and, you know, everyone who needs life-saving
all
treatments.
Humans. Yeah. And maybe we'll be sitting here and they'll have found, you know, cures for some of these things, or at least, you know, be able to control the cancer, or cure for Alzheimer's, or control that, or these key areas that they're all looking at. So this is exciting. So if you want to, again, check out Healthcare Innovators, it's on Zacks.com. You can see the dollar offer. I think it's a dollar on there. Be sure to check that out. And Kevin will be on Zacks.com all week talking about Healthcare Innovators. And we will have him on again in a couple months to talk again about the healthcare stocks, because I do think this is an area that a lot of investors are overlooking, but they shouldn't. And you can also check out the other podcasts Kevin and I have done. We've had a couple good ones over the past couple of years here. And so definitely check out those on SoundCloud and on Zacks.com. And as always, I'll be back again next week with even more.